Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We're going to be continuing part 2 of 3 of the Dr. Ben Carson interview on Life Today. I'm just a man who, a brain surgeon, who just has a understanding of God, understanding of America, and it looks like it's going to take a brain surgeon, surgeon to get us back on track, who loves God and has honored God. This is part 2 of the interview. You got to listen to this. And you can see the whole thing on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Click on the torch on the right and watch the second part in full.
As a physician, I'm very interested in healing the organism. But it doesn't do any good to heal the organism and then put them into an environment that's sick, because they'll be right back there. And so you're taking care of these wonderful little children, but then putting them back into an environment where their future is in jeopardy. And, you know, I like to look at the big picture here. You know, a lot of people say, you're a doctor, you ought to mind your own business. You have no business talking about taxes and economics. You know, you only should stick to doctoring. And what I always say to them is, it's not brain surgery. You know? But you know, we do need to heal that environment. We need to make sure that the people in the next generation have the same opportunities that we had. And we can't do that when we're destroying the economic foundation of our nation. You know, you have a very, very powerful nation. How do you bring them down? Believe me, our enemies have asked that question. You know, the Romans were in the same situation, extraordinarily powerful militarily. No one could challenge them. But, you know, through their military expansionism, they began to strain their budgets. They couldn't figure out how they were going to take care of all this. They started coming up with all kinds of schemes and accusations in order to be able to take money, particularly from the rich. They destroyed the underpinnings of their society, and they destroyed themselves from within. And if you were trying to destroy America, how would you destroy America? You probably would not be able to do it with bombs and missiles. But how about destroying the economic infrastructure of America? And this is something that we have to be careful that we do not allow to occur. And, you know, I'm not accusing anybody of trying to destroy America by destroying our infrastructure, but I'm just saying, if I were trying to do it, that's how I would do it. The values that a child receives at home are the ones that provide that child with their identity. All children look for a basis for their identity. And if they don't get it from home, they're going to get it from someplace else. Too often, it's with peer groups and negative peer groups. And now we also have layered on top of that political correctness. Political correctness is rampant, particularly in our schools. You can't mention God. You know, we have a scholarship program. And, you know, our theme is think big. And we put these banners up. And each letter means something special. The G is for God. And some people said, you can't put that up. In fact, some lawyers came to us and they said, you can't put a think big banner up in a public school because the G stands for God. And that violates the First Amendment, separation of church and state, and we can't have any government-sponsored religion. Well, I reminded them that the First Amendment also says you can have no government suppression of religious expression. So we had a rather vigorous argument. And I suggested that we resolve it at the level of the Supreme Court, which seems bold and reckless, but it really wasn't, because I knew the next week I was going to the Supreme Court to receive the Jefferson Award. So I figured I would ask while I was there. And I did. And just as Sandra Day O'Connor said, they were all wet. Of course, that was not a violation of the First Amendment or anything to do with the Constitution. And of course, you could put it up there. And, you know, people who come up with this silly stuff, what do they know? And they try to tell us that the people who founded this country were not really God-fearing people, that they were deist people who believed that God just put things in motion and left everything. You, all you have to do is go back and look at some of the letters and the prayers of George Washington. Mm-hmm. Look at what Thomas Jefferson said, James Madison, John Adams, Sam Adams. Look at all of these people and look at their writings. That's why we included specific quotes in the book, America the Beautiful, so that you could see what these people said themselves. And you can't come up with that stuff when you see it right there in writing. And we need to believe. Don't buy the people who try to rewrite our history. The fact of the matter is, this is a Judeo-Christian nation. We have Judeo-Christian values. We care about each other, and we need to emphasize the godly principles of loving your fellow man, caring about your neighbor, developing your God-given talents to their utmost, having values and principles that govern your life. And if we do that, we will maintain our position in the world, and we will truly live up to our creed of one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, I think if we listen to what Benjamin Franklin said and some of our other leaders, I think the hope is extraordinarily bright. I think God blessed this nation because we had God-fearing men who were involved in our leadership, and they were people who were willing to sacrifice themselves. You look at somebody like John Hancock, who was an extraordinarily wealthy person. He was willing to give everything he had, you know, for this country. There were many people of that ilk. Benjamin Franklin developed a lot of wealth. He was willing to pay for the Boston Tea Party to assuage the anger of the British, you know, with his great fortune. There were all kinds of stories like that.
You do know it's politically incorrect for you to say that.
Of course.
We do have editorial discretion. We can't edit that out in order to maintain your dignity and your posture.
I tell you, I don't want to get into how much I dislike political correctness. Because I believe that it is an artificial muzzle that is placed on our society to keep us from discussing the pertinent changes that are going on in our value system while they are changed. And all of a sudden, we'll be somebody else and we won't even recognize who we are. And we do ourselves great disservice when we are unwilling to speak up for what we believe. But you know, Benjamin Franklin and these guys, that was the reason that we went from virtually nowhere to the pinnacle of the world in no time flat. That's the reason that Alexis de Tocqueville came here in 1831. Europeans were fascinated. How could a nation barely 50 years old already be competing with them on virtually every level? This is unprecedented. It's unheard of. And yet, it was going on. And, you know, he looked at our systems. He looked at our educational system, our government. In the end of his two-volume set, which is quite enlightening, he concluded, America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.